Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. I am coming to you today from Singapore and our Basic Compliance and Ethics Academy. Joining me today is one of the members of the faculty for the Academy, Louis Perrault. Louis is the Global Compliance Counsel for JABO. Louis, thanks for taking the time to talk to us again today.
Good morning, Adam. Thank you.
So we're going to talk today about compliance infrastructure, which is one of the topics that Louis teaches at the Academy. For a compliance officer looking to create an infrastructure or assess his or her current one, Louis, where's the best place to start? With the seven elements of a compliance program or elsewhere?
Most definitely the seven elements, Adam. That drives the entire compliance program. So if you start building your infrastructure and your foundation for your compliance program, that those are the elements that you'll have to look at and then consider in building your infrastructure.
So, and then where should they look beyond the basics of the seven elements?
You know, for me, one of the most important things of having a successful compliance program is buy-in from the management and the board. If you don't have the support of the board, and usually, you know, board members, they will support your compliance program once they actually understand their accountability from a compliance perspective and the risk they face personally, and being a board member. And, you know, once you've explained that, you know, those accountabilities to them, they open up and they'll probably, you know, they'll give you a better support for your compliance program. And, you know, by demonstrating, you know, support for the compliance program, they start putting the benchmark for the culture in the business. If there's a culture of compliance in the board level, you will see that flowing through the entire business.
And let me ask a question along those lines. You're talking about getting that support. To your experience, you know, how do you respond to people who may object that this is too expensive, it's too complicated, we're too small a company, we don't need this, nobody's watching us? What are some ways you've seen that work to gain that support? Or have you been among the fortunate few who've had boards that were eager to embrace it?
I was not always that fortunate, Adam. Yes, compliance is not compliance can be expensive. We don't need to make it as expensive necessarily. There's various cost-effective ways to do compliance, by having on your team or yourself properly skilled and experienced in compliance. There's a lot of stuff you can do yourself in terms of policy writing, program rollout, training and communication. But if you get a lot of pushback from the executive team in terms of cost, the easiest thing to do is go and show them, you know, what's the cost of non-compliance. There's so many examples of companies doing the wrong thing, and the consequences of not having a good compliance program is in the media every day of our lives. And that's not necessarily going to give you the budget you need, but at least it's a starting point and a discussion point that you'll have to engage with your executive team.
And along those lines, let me put a plug into a free resource on the SCCE and HCCA website. If you go under the resources section, you'll see the resource guide is one of the options. And on that page, you'll find a link to our corporate scalendar, which is our corporate calendar, which is our calendar filled with corporate scandal dates, which is good for finding lots of good examples of that. So let's move on. You've got the support of management. You know what the foundations are going to be. Now it's time to start hiring the staff for the program. And you talked already a little bit about, you know, a good staff is what will help make this thing much more affordable, can do a lot. What should a compliance person look for in terms of the skills of the staff people that they're going to go hire?
It's a good question, Adam. There's quite a unique skill set that's required for a well-rounded compliance officer. And if you start looking at your staff, you can have staff with various aspects of those skill sets. And let's start off with, first of all, for me, most importantly of all, you need to understand the business. When I teach as well, I tell people that, you know, if you're new in a business environment, you haven't been in the industry, go and at least spend 1 to 3 months on the business side of business and understand the frustrations of the business people, the things they need to deal with on a daily basis before you start, you know, trying to build new policies and processes for them to follow. You just, you know, the likelihood of just adding bureaucracy to their lives are fairly large. Then from a skill set perspective, you know, you need to have a really good understanding of the legal requirements in the environment you operate. So there's, you know, you have to be able to interpret laws, to identify the risk in the laws, and then take that back to the business side and operationalize those laws. You need to have some monitoring skills, auditing skills. So go and spend some time with the internal audit team if you don't have those skill sets. The best way to learn is learn on the job with the guys, trying to learn how to do sample selections, how to do, you know, audit questioning, collecting information and data, and then put it back into a report based on the findings. Some other skill sets you need is a training and education. It's also something you can go and learn from the HR staff. They're really good at that. It's part of what they do. And then on a data analysis perspective, you need compliance analyst skills, where you can analyze data which you collect from various sources in the company and put it into information that can be used by the management teams. So that's, you know, it's quite a number of the different skill sets that you need.
And now, when you look at your staff that you're hiring, is there anything on a personal level that people should be looking for in terms of makes somebody a better compliance officer than most?
On a personal level, I think people need to be value-based. They need to have integrity. For a compliance program to be successful, if you don't have integrity, you know, you don't have the trust of the people, it's not going to work. I think that is vital for any compliance program. So you'll have to, when you interview people to be on your staff, you'll have to look at, you know, do these people have values? If they don't have values, because what I've seen in most cases, people are hired on their skills and fired for their values. So you probably start hiring people for their values, and you know, you'll have a less, you know, you'll have a better team. So if a person's personal values and characteristics doesn't fit the team and what you're looking for, I don't think it's the right person.
No matter what their skills may be. Obviously, there's a huge range of compliance program sizes, really reflecting the huge range of different complexity levels of organizations. So, you know, some are in one country, some are spread across dozens, if not well over 100. As the programs grow, how should a compliance officer think about dividing responsibilities and staffing up?
In terms of, you know, dividing up and staffing up, there's various ways of doing that. For me, you will have to look at the composition of the company first and foremost, you know, because most compliance departments will either have a centralized function and a decentralized function depending on the size of the company. Given that centralized and decentralized function, dishing out the responsibilities is, you know, the responsibilities for creating policy and process will then obviously be, you know, with a centralized team. And you'll have to make sure that the skill set that goes with that, like, in, you know, you've got some legal skill set to research the laws and write the policy. Those type of responsibilities will then lie with the centralized team. In your decentralized team, as I mentioned, you need people with the business skills. They need the skills to communicate those policies and train and implement those policies. So, you know, those are the various aspects you'll have to look at for dividing responsibility.
One of the challenges as a program grows and evolves is that it's doing more and more and more. And you want to be able to keep doing more and more, but there's always the risk that the budget starts getting out of control. How do you maintain a reasonable budget as the program expands while still meeting the needs?
Yes, Adam, from experience, people always like to outsource stuff, and it's expensive to outsource. Don't know what the main reason for that is, but, you know, bum on seat, that's my motto. You know, sit down, do the work, get it done. Compliance is not rocket science. If you've got really good experience in compliance, there's no thing in compliance you can do. You can sit down, you can interpret the law yourself, you can write the policy yourself, and you can implement it yourself. You don't need external teams from fancy advising companies to come and do that for you. Which is always costly. People tend to not have their bums on seats these days.
Okay, and one last question. Your program's up, it's running, it's growing, it's evolving over time. You secured management support at the start of the program. How do you keep that support and engagement with management as you move past the initial stage?
That's like anything else in life, Adam. I could just refer it back to marketing. If you don't see a specific product that you like being advertised on a regular basis, you start forgetting about it. You know, if out of sight, out of mind. Same with compliance. To keep that momentum going, you always have to be in the faces of the management team. You have to be in the face of the CEO. You have to be in the face of the people on the bottom of the company, at the lowest level staff. Keep that momentum going by just being visible and present and setting the example yourself, and having your team, which is the senior leadership team, also setting that example going forward. It's like practice what you preach.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that advice. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today, and thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.